police academies for officers to investigate deprivation of rights complaints?
Well, when you're talking about deprivation of rights, like you're talking about like a citizen complaint?
Yeah, like a citizen complains that another public official violated due process or punished them without lawful authority, something like that.
Like public officials, like are you talking, like, give me some examples.
Well, the one that's coming to mind is a situation that I'm involved with, which is that a judge violated due process and actually is taking money that the law doesn't allow the judge to take. So I went to the police to make a complaint of violations of due process rights and being excessively fined. And the police officer that I went to said that he never received any training in the police academy about how to investigate a claim for deprivation of rights.
Yeah, not so much, because that's like really higher type of investigative, I guess, skill that would be needed. Those type of complaints, though, are taken at the San Diego. Well, are you in San Diego? You're in San Diego, right?
No, I'm actually in Orange County.
Okay, in the Orange County District Attorney's Office.
Okay.
They're the ones that would take that, and you would talk to somebody in the Professional Standards Division, somebody that would handle those type of complaints. It wouldn't necessarily go to a local agency per se, because the DA's office can initiate an investigation when it comes to public officials, type of investigations, fraud investigations. Those DA's offices are equipped. At least the one in San Diego is. I can't speak for Orange County, but I worked for the one in San Diego before I retired, and I know they do those type of complaints and those type of investigations.
Okay, that's very interesting, because I did call the one up here, and they said, call your local police department. And every local police department is going, what are you talking about? We don't know what to do.
Interesting. Okay.
So this is kind of really the conundrum that going, I'll share with you. I went to the Golden West Police Academy, and I was a cop in Southern California for about 10 years. And so what happened in this case was, when I got out of law enforcement, I got medically retired, I got into custom design, build, construction, and I got into a dispute with my customer. And we went to the court, and what ended up happening was the customer said I was unlicensed, even though I had a license, and the judge fined me $1 million for not having a license. No joke.
How can he do that if you had a license?
Well, exactly. So I went to the Court of Appeal, and they said, oh, this isn't punishment. This is called disgorgement. And the judge, it's an equitable remedy. The judge had every right to do this. Well, I said, no, this is not equitable in all of this. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a ruling and said that everything that the appellate court and the trial court did was essentially an excessive fine. So then I started going to the police departments, because none of the courts would stop the judgment against me. I mean, there's a lien on the house, and they have suspended my license indefinitely until I pay this illegal fine. And I don't have $1 million to pay the fine. So I made complaints to the legislature, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll look into it, and they didn't. So then, as a former police officer, I started going to police departments, and I said, hey, look, guys, I go, the judge is taking something that he doesn't have a lawful right to take. So you need to investigate it as a crime. No, we are not investigating judges, period. So that has been the thing. I've been to the Santa Ana Police Department. They flat out refused to do any investigation whatsoever. So I complained, I made a citizen complaint. against the officers, and then the chief in the disposition of the complaint said, we're not investigating judges, period. So then I went to the county sheriff's department, who has, you know, a jurisdiction right over the courts, and initially the officer said, that's not a crime, and we're not doing a report. So I complained to their watch commander, and then they took a report, but then what happened was the detective called the DOJ's office and called the OCDA's office, and both of them said, yeah, we're not interested in prosecuting something like that. So then he closed the case and said there's no crime being committed. So then I called Newport Beach PD, and the officer interviewed me over the course of a couple of weeks, a total of 5 hours. And then at the end of his, whatever you would call it, he went to the OCDA's office and they said, yeah, we're not interested in prosecuting this. So he closed the case as well. So now there's no court in California, there's no legislature and no police department that's going to stop this behavior. And it's actually been something that's been going on for over 30 years in California. So why I got online and I went to post and I started looking at the learning domains back when I was in the academy and saw, you know, I thought, wait a minute, am I crazy? Like, am I imagining that cops are just supposed to be part of that they are the executive branch that's supposed to be overseeing the other branches? And so I started looking at the learning domains, and it's pretty clear in there that they have a duty to investigate and protect people from deprivations of rights. They have a duty to look into all reports of crimes. And the sad thing is it doesn't seem like, for whatever reason, that these agencies have a clue of what to do about any of this.
And that probably sounds right. They probably don't even know what penal code section to charge, you know, is the thing. I mean, do you even know what the penal code section would be for that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say theft, and then I would say robbery, and here's why. Robbery, because they're taking it under force of the judicial power of the state, right? So if I were to resist something like that, they would have a SWAT team out here at my house. So it's by force. And I mean, I can't tell you the number of sleepless nights and fear that I've had that I mean, literally I'm being forced into bankruptcy, and there's a lien on the house, and I can't work. I haven't been able to work for 4 years. And literally I've gone to every court, every police department with jurisdiction and the legislature, and no one's helping. So all of the offices in government that are supposed to be there to protect and act as a check and balance are not doing that. So that's why I reached out to you to see, you know, given your experience, I read your resume online and you have just a beautiful career. And also to find out, you know, if there was something else at post, that there was, you know, some type of training for police officers. Because one of the key things is that, you know, they've said, we are not going to investigate a judge. And I said, well, why not? Because if the judge is doing something that violates rights and commits a crime, you have a duty to investigate that like any other crime. And so in one call, I was on the phone with this sergeant and I said, let's read 484 of the penal code together. It says, whoever does any of this. And I said, there's nothing that excludes a judge from this. And he said to me, well, look, if the judge was on the bench and he ordered you to empty your pockets and give him all the money, I would say that's a crime. But if the judge made an order for you to give someone money or do something like that, I would say that's not a crime. And I said, well, I understand, but what if the judge had no authority to make that order? He said, well, the bottom line is that whatever the judge says is the law. So, I mean, this is kind of the situation that I'm dealing with. And so, anyways, I think you get the idea.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done quite a bit more than the typical person would do. And I applaud you for that, because you're really trying to get this resolved, and I understand, you know, they got that lien on your house and on your license. I mean, it's being hard. hardship for you. Definitely going to be a hardship. And if it's not already, have you gone to, okay, every judge has a chief judge, which is their boss.
Mm-hmm.
Have you by any chance contacted them or contacted their department, contacted or sent them an email? I'm just curious. Now, I'm not going to shoo you off to them, but
yeah. Just wondering. No, I absolutely have. I've even contacted the Commission on Judicial Performance.
Okay,
and,
good.
And
what,
they,
what did they say?
They refused to investigate it.
Yeah,
and I mean this is not like some dispute of like he said she said. This is blatant, right? Like the statutes say that the maximum fine in a criminal offense is $5,000, and I got $930,000. Like this is a no-brainer, and it's like outrageous. But yes, I also contacted the Attorney General. And they blew me off and said, contact the Commission on Judicial Performance after I had already gotten word from them that they were not going to investigate. And I've also made two complaints to the OCDA's office. They've refused to even acknowledge my claims, let alone give me some sort of findings of fact and lawful conclusion about that. I know that the Sheriff's Department and the Newport Beach Police Department have both gone to the DA's office, and they've refused to do anything about it. So I've been, and I even went to the FBI, and no joke, the call taker said, your rights aren't being violated, get a lawyer, and hung up on me. And I have all this on tape. So
do you have a lawyer? I'm just curious.
No, I can't afford one. I can't work. I mean, the part of the problem is I'm still in the process of like writing complaints to get into a court to get help. And so that's why I reached out to the police department specifically, because they have a little bit more pull than just, you know, some Joe Schmo citizen. So, you know, there's also a lot of fraud going on in the judgment. Like, for example, the judgment says damages, and there's no damages in the case. And so these are the key, easy things that I was reaching out to the police for to say, hey, look, you guys, look and verify what I'm saying is true or not, right? Because I get this is a very unique situation. And every time it's just this floundering, and I don't know if they get scared or they just don't know what to do. But some of them, you know, like the Santa Ana one, it went up the chain of command. The same thing with the one in Newport Beach. After the officer told me that he didn't have any training to investigate deprivation of rights complaints, I flat out said to him, his name is Darren. I said, Darren, he's a detective sergeant, by the way. I said, Darren, it's the same way you investigate any other claim. You interview the witnesses, you are the victim, you interview witnesses, you go gather evidence, you go talk to the suspect, find out what happened, you do an investigation, and then you write a report with your findings. It's the same thing. Well, I don't know how to do that. So then I made a complaint to the city council, and I said, this is what your officer did. I think he's in dereliction of duty, but before I make that claim, he's saying that he doesn't have training in how to do this. So I'm asking you to provide him that training and get me somebody who can do this investigation. And they wrote back and said, the officer did the right thing. Go back to the courts. So yeah, it's just mind boggling.
Okay. So, and this, you said this went all the way to the California Supreme Court?
It's been all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Yes.
Okay. U.S. Supreme Court. So, what did the California Supreme Court say?
So,
what did they write?
So they refused to, they didn't rule on the merits of the case. They just refused to hear the case. And obviously the problem with that is that ordinarily they don't have to hear a case. They have discretion. But that's only if you actually had a full and fair trial and appeal. And obviously I didn't, because the judge is completely acting without authority, the appellate judges and the trial court judges.
So let me ask you this. How did it get to the U.S. Supreme Court?
It's called a petition for writ of certiorari. And it's like an appeal, and they treat that as discretionary as well. But again, that same rule applies because, again, if you didn't have a fair trial, then the appeal can't be discretionary. It has to be mandatory. Because...
But they heard it.
No. They did not hear it. They did not hear it. Yeah, they what they do...
I thought you said that the Supreme Court came back and ruled in your favor and said that the judge was wrong.
No. In a different case. In a case that's very similar to mine, the issue that's in my case went to the Supreme Court. So let me give you just a little bit more info. So,
I think I know what you're talking about, but yeah, okay.
So yeah, if you understand, there was an issue that... So they called the action against me disgorgement, which is an action that's actually for making someone give up profits of their wrongdoing. Like if a bank robbery robbed a bank, you know, he has to give back the profit, $20,000, right? So they said in the action against me that they were doing an action for disgorgement, which would mean that I had to give back my profits. Well, there's no evidence of profits on the case. And they didn't order me to give back profits. They basically made me give back all of the money that the people had paid me to do the job, and they got to keep all of the work.
And which court was this that ruled that?
Superior Court in Central Justice Center in Santa Ana.
Superior Court.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it went to the Fourth District Court of Appeals, and they
refused to hear it.
No, they did hear it, and they said, okay, yep, the trial court is right. This is disgorgement. You're not being punished. And this is crazy because it's in the face of the California Supreme Court saying that the action was penal. And that's the other part of it, is that this can't even be a civil case. Private, like, I can't prosecute you for not having a driver's license. These people can't prosecute me for not having a construction license. That's the other crazy aspect of it, is that it's really a criminal trial disguised as a civil trial. And so the court awarded me to pay them the $1 million as the punishment for contracting without a license. It's just mind-blowingly absurd.
Jesus, man. Oh, God. My mind is just spinning around trying to figure out who you could go to, because it's gone all the way to the top.
Yes, it's gone everywhere. Yep. And what's crazy is like let's say when the Orange County Sheriff's investigator called the DOJ, or he spoke to a DOJ investigator, the DOJ investigator said that I had made a complaint and that the public inquiry unit had reviewed it, and that the fact that they reviewed it and didn't send it to him meant that there was nothing that they wanted to do with it. Well, that was a lie. I never even submitted a complaint to them. So there's all these little nuanced things. And then, like, when I told the investigator about that, he refused to return my call or email to even know that it happened.
Have you tried to speak with a DOJ, director or something that has somebody that has, like, some supervision of the units up there, like a sergeant or something like that?
I haven't done that yet, no.
I'm sorry, but that might be your next step, because DOJ is going to be the one that's going to be looking at those type of cases. I mean, I was going to turn you on to, well, I did, to the ethics unit at the Orange County District Attorney, but you've already gone there. And
yeah.
I think the only option really is going to be the DOJ somehow before you have to file bankruptcy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. And that's going to be the only way, it seems, that I'm going to be able to either maybe keep a portion of my house or have to sell it or be able to get my the ability to get a license back.
If you file bankruptcy, I'm not telling you to file bankruptcy.
Right.
But if you file bankruptcy, you do go in front of a bankruptcy judge who does hear the whole case. And if you plead your case well and you're pretty articulate. So if you plead your case well, telling them, look, the reason why I'm filing bankruptcy is because of what you just told me about this judge and his proceedings and everything that went on. They have, you know, they're going to hear all that to determine if you have a reasonable case to file the bankruptcy or to not file bankruptcy. But at least what I'm getting at is that you're going to be in front of a judge, a federal judge, who's going to listen to your case. I mean, if you have to go down that road, but that might be a way to get in front of a judge.
You're absolutely brilliant. And yes, that is my plan, to litigate in bankruptcy. But what's crazy is that I did file a case in federal court to vacate the void state court judgment. And the judge threw my case out, claiming that it was frivolous. And I went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal for an appeal, and they dismissed my case as frivolous. And so that's part of the problem too with some of these cops, is they're saying, oh, you're saying all these judges are lying to you, Adam. I'm saying, yes, they are. Look at the Supreme Court's case. The Supreme Court is saying it, not me. And,
are you representing yourself, or you have an attorney?
Yeah, I can't afford an attorney. I'm absolutely having to represent myself, but I am more than competent at doing that. The problem is...
And you sound, like I said, you are very articulate. You can't present yourself well. I think getting in front of a judge, I mean, on another matter, but bring this matter in, that may help you. I don't know, man.
I'm about ready to, there's some federal statutes that say that you, they're called misprison of felony and misprison of treason, and you have to report behavior like that. So I may just go to them and do it on that grounds. I don't know if that would work, but it's worth a shot too.
What is Google, like when you Google, who can you call? Does it give you like a list?
No. See, that's the thing, Dan, is there's, throughout this process, like if you go on the Cal DOJ's website, it says if you want to make a complaint against a public official for misconduct, go contact your local agency. And then when you show up at the local agency, they go, we don't know what to do with this. We're calling the DOJ. And so then they call the DOJ and the DOJ says, we don't know what to do with this. We don't want anything to do with it. And so they close it.
Well, I mean, if you go to a local agency to file a report, I mean, you can demand a report, and by law, they have to write the report for you. That's in legislation. That's the law. If you demand a report,
are you sure?
I'm pretty. Yeah.
I
remember when I was in patrol that somebody wanted to complain or not complain, wanted a police report. And we said, I said, well, no, you don't have the grounds to file a police report, and they demand it, then we have to file a police report. It's by law. I mean, look up California, police obligation to generate a police report.
Okay.
And see what pops up. But I know when I was in patrol back many years ago, we had to do that. I don't know if that's changed, but
when I was there, I think it was always demanded if you had to take one if someone demanded it, if there was, you know, whether a crime had been committed or not. But where this is where another problem is showing up, well, obviously in Santa Ana they refused to do the report, and Newport refused to actually do a crime report or really to take down all of the facts of everything that it said. But what they're doing now, like last night, I called Irvine Police Department because I said to them, you know, basically these are the gist of the facts. And I said, the agencies that seem to have jurisdiction over this area, this city, they're refusing to do anything about it. So that's why I'm calling you. So can you please take a report for the deprivation of my rights and the unlawful taking of my property? And they said, no. Our jurisdiction doesn't go into that city. And I said, you are a police officer and you are, your duty is to enforce the state law and constitution of this state. You can't say that your boundary doesn't go over there because the law extends in the entire boundary of this state. And they said, sorry, the Irvine Police Department doesn't have anything for you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I can see where they're going with that. Not that it's right, because we did courtesy reports for other agencies all the time. But what courthouse did this take place?
Santa Ana, which is within their... it's their courthouse.
So it would be either Santa Ana PD or Orange County Sheriff.
Right.
Orange County, like you said, overseas. So it would be either one of those. I would think it was...
That's what I'm saying. I went to both of them, and that's the problem. So that's why...
But I think if you can challenge... For California Penal Code Section, you know, whatever that number is, I don't know what it is.
Right.
Google it, find it, research it, and per Penal Code Section, you know, 1234, I am demanding a police report, and if you don't file a police report, then I will, you may have to say, I don't want you to have to pull your chief into some type of lawsuit or term it the nicer, but I'd hate to have to call your chief into court to answer why you, Officer Jones, didn't take a police report.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going, is that I also don't want to be filing lawsuits against any of the departments, but this is, it's such a mind-blowing issue that this is what's going on, and this is the state that they don't, for some reason, they don't want to recognize that there's a problem here. And I get that it may be a little bit different because it involves someone that isn't normally committing crimes, a judge. The penal code applies to everyone. So just look into the facts and take a report and investigate it. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, yeah, what they would probably do, I remember what we did is when we had something like that and we were obligated to take the report, we would not give them a case number, which is fine. At least it's documented as an incident number. And you make sure that you get that incident number.
Right.
So that if you ever do file a lawsuit against that agency, at least there's an incident number.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it's at. So yeah, my thing with contacting you, obviously in post, was, hey, is there some other training that's out there other than the learning domains that I have already that give officers instruction about this? Because, I mean, again, I went to the police academy in around the year 2000, and all of this is crystal clear to me. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, there is training. It's called the ICI, the Institute of Criminal Investigations, and detectives, it's voluntarily, they don't have to go to it, but most of them do go to that type of training. And it talks about higher level type of investigations, like homicide investigations or child abuse investigations, robbery investigations. There's specialized training for like homicides and robberies and things like that. That's more advanced investigations. But yeah, this ICI is basic investigators, and you can look it up on the Post website.
Okay.
Institute for Criminal Investigations. That's for like beginner type of detectives to get into.
Okay.
For like basic type of investigations. But as for the academy itself, the academy is designed for basic, you know, writing down and doing a police report, not doing so much as a police investigation. Although it is considered an investigation, it's more like a police report, just maybe documenting the facts.
Right.
So that is that what they're trained in the academy. Once they get out of the camp, more advanced type of investigations.
Yes. I hear you. It just, by the way, on another subject, it's very relieving to hear you recognize that there's obviously a problem here, because it's been so mind-blogging going to these different agencies, and I don't usually talk to line-level cops. I go straight to the watch commander or sergeant or someone like that, and maybe that's been the problem, because they're so far removed from police work, I guess, that they're having trouble recognizing that there's a problem. I mean, $1 million fine, that I think that would outrage anybody, but...
And you are probably correct in that. I mean, jumping the chain of command, people don't like that. It's essentially people in the, you know, officers or sergeants, lieutenants in authority, they would rather you come to them first. And if that doesn't work, then you, you know, you climb that that ladder of authority. But they don't like, you know, you just kind of jump everybody, go straight to the watch commander. I mean, if you had spoken to, well, you did, you spoke to an officer. If you would have spoken to his sergeant first, because what happens is when you talk to the watch commander, then the watch commander is then going to go to that officer sergeant and say, hey, what the hell happened here? What's going on? Right? And then the sergeant gets pissed off or gets upset because he's blindsided by this instead of you have gone to him. You know,
yeah, I hear you, but that I hear you totally, and I'm well aware of that, but that I didn't create that situation for them here. So,
I know. I'm just telling you that because said, well, you yourself said that you don't generally talk to line officers. You go straight to the watch commander. Yeah, that could be the issue. But nevertheless, I mean, you know, you sound like you do have an issue going on here, and the way to resolve it would be the way, you know, I think that we discussed. I wish I could help you out further, but I mean, you know, you can look up ICI, like under the post search site.
Okay.
And, you know, just so that you know for your own edification, but as for getting your situation resolved, I think getting in front of a federal judge may be the way to do it. Again, it's going to take lots of other steps. And you said that's not something that you're going to do immediately. There's a couple other avenues.
Oh no. I'm working on writing a complaint to go to the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and treating that court as like a court that you file a lawsuit in. Normally they just do appeals. That's mainly the business that they have to do. But because there is no other court to go to, I've called made a complaint to the FBI. I've made a complaint to three police departments in California. I've been to every court in California. I called my legislature, the assemblywoman and the senator. No response. So there's nowhere to go. Literally, that is the last court in the nation.
Yeah. Well, and the highest court in the nation, too. So.
And the DOJ and the Commission on Judicial Performance, all of them.
Yeah. No, you've definitely done your work. I'll praise you with that. You've definitely done your work. I think you're just running out of options. And that's unfortunate, right?
Yeah, because all these things are supposed to be in place to any one of them should stop this. So is there anything you know of in the from your experience in San Diego that could be something to go to?
I don't understand what you mean.
Is there a resource down there that might be available? Even if there was a quote-unquote jurisdictional issue, I think that could easily be overcome because it's a state constitutional deprivation issue. It's not it happened in the county.
The San Diego County District Attorney's Office has a very experienced investigator. Unfortunately, I don't know if he's still there or not, but he's in the Special Operations Division. His name is Vince Giami.
Uh-huh.
And that he would be able to tell you what exactly, if you have any more options left, based on everything that you said. Vince Giami, and if he is not available, or like I said, if he's retired, then obviously he's not going to be available. But there's going to be somebody else. Oh, you know what? There's an attorney in the Special Operations Division that handles political corruption.
Okay.
Ask to speak with Vince Giami. If they said, "Oh, sorry, he's no longer here," just ask him. Okay, is there a possibility that I can have? Could you transfer me to the attorney that handles the political corruption? Because he's really, really good.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I can't remember his name. Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah. So you can ask us to speak with them and see if what kind of options they can give you or he can give you.
Okay. Okay. That's perfect.
All right.
Dan, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. I wish you the best. I'm sorry that you're having to go through all this, but you shouldn't have to. But
well, I think ultimately what's going to happen with it is that it's going to be a major lawsuit, and there's going to be a huge revolution in law enforcement training because of it. And it's I think that's where it's going to go.
I don't think it's a training issue, though, Adam. I think it's just them not wanting to do it, or being naive and not being aware of it. Research. Do me a favor. Research. Go to Google and say, just type in, like I mentioned, requirements for police to take a police report in California. Make sure that it's California specific.
Okay, let me just do that while I got it.
Okay.
California requirement for police.
California Penal Code requirement for officers to take a police report.
Police officer to take a report. Okay. The only thing that's showing up is Penal Code 118, which is perjury for filing a false report. Police officers filing false reports. There's false statements to police officers. There's nothing that requires them to take a report.
How about California Penal Code requirements? Police reports. You have to play with the words a little bit.
Yeah.
I know it's there.
I don't remember it ever being there.
You know.
No. It's an individual. This is even crazy. The Orange County Sheriff's Department. I said, "What's your policy for making a police report?" They sent me their whole policy manual, and there's nothing in there that says they have to take a report. It's all discretionary.
Well, yeah, but if it's a California Penal Code, it doesn't necessarily have to be in there.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. There isn't, in my knowledge, when I went to the police academy in 2000 and I worked till about 2010, there was no mandatory report. None. No penal code, no nothing in our policy, nothing like that. Yeah. There's nothing showing up. I'm on page 3 now of it. So more than the report, the real issue is, do they have the duty to investigate? And I think they do.
They do have the duty to investigate, at least do a preliminary investigation, right?
Right. To say, hey, look, is this guy a nut job, or is there some validity to this here? And
right,
do we need
exactly.
to do something?
Exactly. I mean, they have the responsibility to at least do a cursory type of investigation, and that is by documenting it in a police report.
Yeah, and that's not they're not doing that. Three. Well, one agency did it, but then when the investigator got it again, I already shared that with you, but the other two did not do that.
The reason why I was having you look up the penal code section is if you went back to the police department, once you got that penal code section, you went back to the police department, and like I explained to you before, if you were to tell them, look, I'm demanding a police report, and they say, sorry, and you go back and say, look, for California penal code, whatever it is, I'm demanding a police report based on this information, and they still say no, then you can say, look, you are required. I would hate to have to call or file a lawsuit, against your police department and your chief because you're violating California Penal Code.
I think that's a brilliant idea, but there isn't. I'm not aware of one, and there's nothing showing up here. I will keep looking about that. There's other. You could call this a peddly issue. I don't feel that it is, but. I asked in some of these instances to see these officers' oath of office. They don't have one. Or they have one for police officer. Yeah. They have one for police officer, but not for, you know, sergeant or lieutenant or whatever their position is.
No, because they all do it as a police officer. So as you promote, you don't redo another oath. You just do it once upon graduation of the police academy.
Hmm. Well, some of the agencies are doing them with every position because there's different duties. Like if you go through the courts, for example, a judge of a superior court and a judge of appellate court, they're still doing judging, but they have a different position, so they get a different oath. And then
But I promoted through many ranks at the San Diego Police Department and also at the district attorney's office, and I only did my oath of office one time in my academy and didn't carry on into every different assignment.
Okay. So, well, anyways, that's some of the other stuff that's going on.
That's nothing. But, I mean, I think everything that we discuss is we kind of beat a dead horse.
Okay.
I'm giving you options with Vince and the attorney that does all of the political corruption stuff over there at the San Diego County District Attorney's. Now, they're probably not going to do anything because it's a different county. But at least they will be able to provide you with some information and where to go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't go in there or don't contact them, you know, demanding them to investigate it because it's a whole different county. So you're just basically going in there as a fact finder, kind of wanting to know what your options are. And you pretty much are already knowledgeable on what your options are. And you've already done everything. And you'll share that with them, and hopefully they can come out with something else. Adam, I don't know, man. Hopefully.
Okay. So you don't think at all that this, you know, this is another part of my question is, like, you think that it's pretty clear that when someone comes with a complaint like this, that they should be taking a report and doing a basic investigation. And that's like a no-brainer.
Basic investigation in the sense of documenting it on a police report.
Okay.
You're not going to go, you know, kind of like you give them to go contact all five of those witnesses. It's basically to just document what you're telling them, and then that gets pushed over to an investigative unit that then the investigative unit, the detectives, they're the ones that do the follow-up. But as for the line police officer, it's just a document.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying. So there's kind of like a dual understanding here is that the line level cop, they send a patrol person out, take a basic report. It gets forwarded to detectives and then the detective does an investigation. That's the basic minimum standard as I remember it.
It's the same. You're absolutely right.
Okay. So that's why I'm saying is, What do you think might be going on then if they're just not doing that? If it's not a training issue?
In training, I don't know if it's a training issue or more than or other than them not knowing what the laws are.
Okay.
Because again, Adam, like I said, and I can only speak for me, it was pounded into our heads that if a person demanded a police report, regardless whether it was, you know, a BS report or not, we were required to do a police report. Now, getting a case number is another thing, but at least there was an incident number to track the report that we did. In the event that it had to be located later, it could always be research via, you know, the CAD system, via the incident number.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So my thought with that is that's great, but the whole point of reaching out to law enforcement to make the report is to have some means to stop the state created harm that's going on. You know,
it's to have the incident documented, to have it investigated by a detective, and then to have it, if it merited, have it sent to the district attorney's office, who then they're the ones that make the decision whether to move forward with prosecution or not. It's just the officers yet.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
Parole guy to investigate it with the detective and then to, you know, to send it to the DA's office. That's, in a nutshell, that's how the whole process works.
That was my experience as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, Dan, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'm so grateful for you calling me back, and thank you for all the support that you gave me and the time you shared. And, you know, maybe you'll hear about it on the news.
Well, keep my name out of it, okay?
Yes, no problem.
No, but I wish you the best of luck. I like I said, I hope I'm giving you options. I hate for you to have to file bankruptcy. I feel what you're going through. I mean, you're going through a hardship right now, but at least with a bankruptcy, you're going to get it in front of a federal judge, and they're going to listen to the whole thing. So that might maybe what you want to do, but that's completely your call.
Yeah, that seems to be where it's going because, you know, I haven't been able to pay the mortgage on the house because I can't work or the property taxes.
Yeah, so you're gonna be, you know, losing your house. Hopefully not. So you may have to file bankruptcy to keep that from happening.
Right. Yep. So I may be forced into that. But in the meantime, I'm trying to do everything that I can to stop the harm from happening and stop the damages.
Well, you've done a lot more than other people would have done.
Yeah.
I think you've exhausted just about everything there is to do. To protect your assets, your home, your license. I mean,
right.
You may have to file that bankruptcy to get it in front of a federal judge to be able to have him or her listen to, this is why I'm filing bankruptcy, Your Honor.
Right.
Judge X, Y, and Z, this is what he did to me, and this is why, and this is, I've had it heard by several other entities, including similar cases, that would rule in my favor that the judgment that this judge has made against me is not right.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it may come to that. It may come to that.
But Adam, I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you, Dan. Have a good rest of your night.
You too. You have a good luck, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.